Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on a Wednesday morning, ready to talk safeties, wrap up our positional rankings, our top five positional rankings. But before we jump into that, Trevor, I got to be honest with you. This morning I recorded Locked On Steelers, and I accidentally posted the Locked On Steelers podcast to the Locked On NFL Draft Audio Boom page. So that's where we're at.
I deleted it quickly
after, and I moved it over to the Locked On Steelers podcast page, but it got like 80 listens in the like couple minutes before I deleted it. So I was like, people are probably wondering why we're talking about Vance McDonald's trade to the Steelers and where Trevor is and why I'm calling it the Locked On Steelers podcast. But yeah, so that's how my day started off. No big deal, you know, just a normal hectic day. But we're getting to these top five safeties, and we've got some takes on this group. Huh? I mean, not a very good group so far. I am not impressed very much with this group yet. I mean, we'll see what happens this season. But even the guys they have at the top, I need to see a lot of growth this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I agree. But, you know, like we said the last couple of times, the last year tape that they get is definitely the most important tape that they get, and especially for a position like safety. You know, a lot of these guys that we're looking at, you know, in the age where youth matters and how old they are when they come into the draft matters. You have a lot of these kids who are either true juniors, redshirt juniors, things like that. And for some of them, this is only going to be their second year starting since high school, right? And so high school competition doesn't really count. And when you're talking about a position where experience and recognition and just getting games under your belt, being able to see things, read a quarterback, no coverages, have confidence in yourself, all that kinds of stuff goes into the safety position. It's why it's one of my favorite positions in football, because of everything that goes into it on the back end for a defense. Experience means so much. So it makes sense that doing a preseason scouting series, there's not a ton of guys that we love, because it's rare that we would see a safety like NFL draft ready within their first 2 years of college, because it's such a position where games matter, playing games matter, getting starts matters, because you got to be able to see stuff. You got to be able to have confidence in yourself. So I can understand why there's certainly not a lot of love right off the bat for some of these guys in the preseason, because, you know, especially 4 months ago, we were looking at prospects as complete prospects. You know, we were looking at them throughout their entire college career, through the entire draft process. And it only makes sense that we kind of are bleeding over into that mindset now, getting into these new guys. And, you know, you're watching some of these safeties and you can't help but think about Jamal Adams or Malik Hooker or, you know, whoever, Marcus May, whoever it's going to be. But you can't really get a true judge of these guys until you get as many starts under their belt as they're possibly going to have in college. So I get the hesitation, but there's still definitely some talent that I like out there, and we'll get to that.
All right, my fifth guy, and yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, usually the safeties that I think tend to shine are the guys that the underclassmen come out, and somebody will emerge. You know, somebody will have a big, you know, big leap in their growth, and we'll see a couple names pop up. But the big guy, the fifth guy that is on my list right now is Damon Webb from Ohio State. He's one of the only starter from last year's Ohio State team that did not head to the NFL draft. 70 tackles. I think he started 13 games. I'm pretty sure all of them were last year. So 70 tackles, two tackles for loss, a pick, four pass breakups, four-star prospect. He's pretty versatile. They Ohio State loved to roll their coverages pre-snap. So he would sometimes even roll to a single high. He'd play in a two-high shell, line in the box. He'd be in the slot. He's a pretty good overall athlete, good short area quickness, solid range. Comes downhill to defend the run really well. He's active in that role. Solid tackler. I thought he was a pretty solid player. Not going to see ball skills. Not going to see big hits. Not a very highlight reel guy. Just kind of a guy. He had great players around him. I'm sure that helped as well. This year is going to show us a lot about him. Sometimes he'd bite hard on play action, overshoot his run fill. He'd just get a little over aggressive. Can't get off blocks for sure. So I don't see him as a full-time box safety. I think he's listed 5'11", 195 pounds. So I think he was good size, good overall athleticism, good overall player, nothing special about him on college tape. And that happened with great talent around him. So, I think we're going to need to see a little something more if he's going to be a top 50, top 60 type of guy. Feel okay about him in the late day two range right now, early day three range, somewhere like a fringe top 100 player. But I don't think that he's a guy that's going to make any type of splash play at the college level. Now we'll see what he does this season. And if that happens, you're projecting the traits on and, you don't see a super enticing player at the next levels, but a guy that I think could be capable of filling a starting spot, even if he isn't ever a preferable starter. So that's kind of where I'm at with Damon Webb, but he's the fifth guy on my board. And as you can tell already, probably if the fifth guy is fringe top 100, it's not going great.
Yeah, so, I mean, my fifth guy is Marcus Allen from Penn State, and a lot of people really like Marcus Allen, and I think the reason why they like him is because he's all over the field wherever the ball is. He's constantly making tackles. I think he had over 100 last year. He had 80 or 90 tackles the year before. But the problem is, no interceptions either of those seasons. And so, I mean, if you don't have ball skills in 2 years, if you don't notch an interception, that's not good. Mm-hmm. That's just not good. Whether you're playing free safety, strong safety, whatever it is. I know, too, that some interceptions are right place, right time. Sure. But 2 years and you don't have any, that's not good. And I think Marcus Allen has decent athleticism to be able to put himself in place to make stuff happen, make takeaways happen. And so being all over the ball, but he needs to just be more confident, I think, even in tackling, whether it's in coverage, making anticipations, breaking on a ball, going for an interception, or even taking on certain defenders. I'll notice, he'll take on certain defenders and tackle them, and the form will be fine. He'll wrap up. But I'll notice that at times, he'll get the tackle, and it'll be recorded as a tackle on somebody. Mm-hmm. But in the couple of games I watched, it's not until the very end where, his arm, he's wrapped the guy up, and he's fallen down his body, and it's not until, his arm, bounces on the ground and just trips this guy up that he brings the tackler down. And so he gets he gets a stat for that. He gets a tackle. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, that's not a strong tackle.
He has no hitting power, I felt like.
You know what I'm saying? And so – yeah. But here's the thing, man. I think he has it. I've seen little glimpses where, he'll go into a guy faster than he normally does or faster than he expects it, and the tackle will look good. And I'm just do that more. Be like that in open space and be like that when you're taking on all kinds of ball carriers. And so aggression, that's what I want to see from Marcus Allen. I want him to be aggressive. This is his, his last year. And I need to see it from him. I need to see him be more aggressive all around, because if you are just a blah safety, then you won't start in the NFL. You'll just be nothing more than a backup because they can't count on you to take on the more dynamic people. And so I think he has pretty good athleticism, and so we just need to see it.
Yeah, was an interesting eval because he certainly looks the part, 6 foot 202, but wrap up tackler. He will stick his nose in the pow, but I did not see yet. I didn't see many missed tackles, and I also didn't see many impactful tackles. And I do think that does matter, especially if you're going to be a box safety. Not sure if he is a box safety or not, because I thought he diagnosed really well around the box, sifted through trash, got to the ball. But again, there's not a lot of hitting power there, and he beats blockers to spots. How will that change in the NFL if blockers are getting there a little bit quicker? Is he able to work off that block and make a play? I think that Allen was very that you said it, he's a blah safety. That's what I thought with him.
Right. He's right now. He is. Yeah. If you don't have any interceptions in 2 years, you're a blah safety. I don't care if you have three. I don't care if you have Scooby Wright tackles for 2 years.
And he didn't show the tape. Indicated, the stats indicated that he didn't have ball skills, and then the tape showed that. I didn't think he got good reaction timings or instincts to make a lot of plays on the ball, especially in zone coverage. A lot of times in zone, he got way too deep in his drop and he couldn't close on the football at all. It just seemed like he didn't really understand.
Conservative, man. Yeah, he has to be more aggressive. Yeah. He has to be.
Yeah. I think he has some potential. I don't think he's a great athlete, but I think he's a good one. He has some potential, but yeah, he didn't make my list because I thought that there was a lot of growth still has to happen there. Quinn Blanding was my fifth guy. Quinn Blanding I thought he was a pretty assignment sound dude. I don't think he's a great athlete at all, and I think that's his biggest drawback. 6'1", 215. He was a consensus 5-star recruit, actually, top rated safety in the country from his high school class. But he went to Virginia. I think his size and strength are ideal. He's a pretty controlled tackler coming downhill and run support and in the open field. He doesn't whiff very often. Pretty good wrap up and finish form. Seems to diagnose well around the box, read keys, sift through trash, run fills and angles of the ball are good. So a lot of things you want in a box player. I think he diagnoses routes pretty well and is a high effort player who is also very physical. I know his intangibles and leadership draw pretty rave reviews there, but again, there's not much hitting power at all. Gets guys to the ground consistently, but not much hitting power. Doesn't close on the ball very explosively. Seems to lack twitch to his game overall. I don't think his range or his long speed or his ability in man coverage is going to be great. So, again, you're talking about a guy who's going to be pretty limited in coverage, and I could see being passed up by more athletic safeties with more upside because I don't think Blanding has a lot of upside. A lot of his stops are cleanup stops down the field. He is, like I said, his angles is finishing pretty good, but I just don't see the athleticism to be able to defend the catch point consistently. Closing speed, things like that, which as a result takes away from his ball skills, I think. So I think he's probably a strong safety. I could see him in the box, especially with his size, makes a lot of sense for him. He's going to have to play on the back end at some point, but I don't think he's a single high type guy at all. So maybe you put him in a too high role when you need to, and he's going to be limited somewhat. No matter what you ask him to, I think he's going to be limited somewhat, but a solid player, I think, in the right system could find his way into the starting lineup.
Jordan Whitehead from Pittsburgh is my number four guy. He is 5'11", 190, a little thinner than people would like from a safety, but he's a physical guy. His tape is kind of littered with him coming in, taking on tight ends and running backs and flying into the screen and getting his shoulder down, hitting people. Not as hard as some of the guys higher on my list will hit people, but I think a reason for that is, again, I think he is right in between, say, these guys that go full throttle that are going to be higher on my list and where Marcus Allen is with being a little bit timid, with a little bit safe. I put Whitehair kind of in between that little category of these guys that I'm going to talk about. And missed last year, no, the year before with an arm injury. But the other two, the last year, I think he was fully healthy for all of it. So that shouldn't be any kind of a problem or concern. Only had one interception last year. And then even the year before in the limited time, only one interception. So I think he's a strong tackler. That's kind of where he makes his bread and butter as a safety. It's not going to be with too much ball skills. Although the interception that he did have was a pretty nice jump on a route that I did see that. But, I think he is a little bit more aggressive than Allen. I think that's why I like him a little bit better. I think he's a little more aggressive in his nature. Doesn't have quite the size that Allen does, but mentality is a big deal for a safety. And so if you show that, I'm gonna favor you a little bit more, even if you don't have the ideal size as, say, another guy does. And so he's in between these little groups that I have right now, and we'll get into my top guys and why they're ahead of him in a sec.
No Nick Washington, huh?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I have not seen Whitehead, actually, which is weird.
I love Nick Washington. He is I love him as a dude. He is such a good person. Yeah. He's such a cool guy. Nicest dude in the world. But, yeah, he can't play safety.
So that's a little bit of a problem. Yeah. I have not watched Whitehead yet, so I need to watch him at some point. But I know that there's mixed feelings about him at Pitt Junior. I wonder how he tests athletically. That's what I'm excited to see. But
true.
I'll have to get to his tape at some point. My number three guy, we're on number three, right? Yeah, my number three guy is Ronnie Harrison from Alabama. And in some ways, Harrison is like the less refined, more athletic, higher upside version of Quinn Blanding in a little ways. I think Harrison's going to have to find the right role, but he's athletic enough where I could see Harrison potentially matching up against tight ends in man coverage, being able to play as a big slot some, not being a liability and all in that way, and could be closer, not exactly him, but closer to a Cam Chancellor type of player. But he is definitely an around the box type of guy. I think he's really good in zone coverages underneath. Could see him in like robber roles and, you know, playing against the run in the box. And, you know, teams that love to run three safety looks, I think he could be really effective in a group like that. So where the heck do you draft that? I have no idea. He's going to need to show more refinement. What troubles me about Harrison, that there's times and games and drives where he looks like the enforcer. Like, this is the guy that's going to send messages consistently. And then there's other times where he just gets straight ran over by people. You know, whether it's blockers or whether it's runners. And so I want to see him consistently be that guy, that enforcer. If that's going to be his way of playing, you know, he's not a ball skills, ball hawk type of player. Okay, can live with it. But you better be the enforcer consistently around the box and in the short to intermediate areas of the field. Then I felt like he didn't take advantage of every opportunity. Now, there's times where he definitely is. So you're like, so you know the ability's there. You know the drive and desire's there. Like, he's physical, but I need to see him consistently be that type of player, I think, before I'm ready to really hang my hat on him. But he's my number three safety.
Yeah, Harrison is my number three safety too. So kind of just piggybacking off of what you said. But I think I'm a little bit higher on him than you are. I definitely favor the athleticism that he has over some other safeties. He has great size. He's 6'3". You know, I think he's probably closer to 210 because he's a little smaller. I'd love for him to gain a little bit more weight because he definitely could with that kind of frame. And that would help him in the concerns that you're talking about, the little inconsistencies of sometimes you will watch a Ronnie Harrison tape, and you're right, he will just be this huge hitter for Alabama. And he is everything that you would think the Crimson Tide defense is, you know, as intimidating from all of its spots. And so I think he encapsulates that pretty well in some tapes, and then in other tapes, yeah, he gets a little inconsistent here and there. But I think I'm a bigger fan of him than you are. I think that his potential is a little bit higher. I just want to see him add some weight, and I don't think it's going to happen at Alabama. I don't think it's going to happen in this last year. That's going to be an NFL thing, but I think he has pretty good instincts, and so I don't see a first-round pick with Ronnie Harrison, but I think that he's going to be a day-two guy, and that's the time when, you know, you take somebody who has higher upside that you need to put some weight on, shore up a little bit in their technique, whatever it is, and I think that he could possibly be that kind of enforcer kind of player.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, decently similar. Brandon Bryant's my number two guy. No one's even talking about him. Mississippi State kid. We talked about him. I think we talked about him. I think you brought him up,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, I did.
And I watched him, and honestly, Brandon Bryant's my number two guy because I just think there's upside there that I don't see with anybody else. Like, he has size, he has good size, athleticism, he's explosive. I think he's physical. Right now, the instincts and the route recognition and some of the more refined aspects of playing the position aren't always there. He needs to get better defending the catch point and using all his tools. You could say there's some boom or bust to him. I just need to see him. You know, we need to see him take a next step this year, I think, if he's going to keep that. I mean, it's almost both of my top two safeties to me are almost all based on upside and what they do this season. I think they have substantial upside. I think Brian could be a really good player. He could be a guy that we see vault into that top 50 range. Right now, some places aren't even talking about him. Like Pro Football Focus and their draft guide, he's not even in it. So, I mean, there's some places where he's getting absolutely zero run, but I think he could be the guy that vaults up. So I'm just in a safety class that I think overall is disappointing without a lot of guys with high upside even or refinement. I'm just going to take a chance on a guy at this point in the process with that I think has the traits and the tools to be eventually a good player if he's able to be developed somewhere.
Yeah, I like Brian a lot. I did bring him up. He's not on my list, but that's just because I have not been able to get my hands on a lot of tape of him. Yeah. I saw some highlights to bring him up, and I could, you know, talk about a little bit of the traits that you said there. But even when I brought him up a month or so ago just to get his name out there to people, there's just not a lot of tape on him. I hope we get a lot more this season. So hope he gets a lot more attention because he is an athletic freak. My second guy is Texas A&M safety Armani Watts.
Boo. And I know
you are not a big fan of him, but I'll just say this, man. He's the same mold of Justin Evans. And I know you liked Evans more than you liked Watts, but a lot of people are the other way around. And both of these guys are very athletic, big hitting safeties who you have a ton of concern with consistently with. But honestly, man, I don't care.
I don't care.
if you have the athleticism that Watts does and the mentality that he does, because this is a confident dude. And so if you give me that mentality and that kind of athleticism, I can coach it. Like, I can coach the rest of it. That's not a problem to me. And if he doesn't – like, if he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. That's fine. But I'm not taking Armani Watts in the first round at this point. You know, I'm not taking Armani Watts in the first round anyways. And so, you know, like Justin Evans was taken in the second round, and plenty of other quote-unquote developmental people are take with high upside are taken in day two. So if you take Armani Watts anywhere in day two, I'm totally fine with it. And so when I just look at him and the athleticism he has, the mentality that he has, I think he has more upside than everybody in this class other than one guy. So that's why he's my number two.
I honestly can't remember the last time. And I watched Evans, and I thought Evans' tape was pretty bad at some points. I had a fourth-round grade on him, and I thought that he should have moved a corner. And, you know, I was very – I had a different narrative with Evans than a lot of other people did and than the NFL did. But – Watts is 5'11", 205. He plays fast. There's definitely good size and speed there. Closing burst on the ball. Fills at good angles, but he's just one of the worst tacklers I've ever watched. I mean, and it's not even just me. Pro Football Focus draft guide, which I suggest everybody get. It's like their preseason draft guide. It's kind of like a little breakdown on tons of different players. There's some really cool stats that you're just not going to get anywhere else. So yeah, check out their Elite and Edge accounts, because I think those, you know, they're fairly affordable and they just give you a lot of really good information. But they have him at 40 missed tackles in 264 attempts in his career. 40.
Fine.
Last year he missed 15 out of 70. Not a big hitter, not a force in the run game whatsoever.
Fine.
No.
It's fine.
It's not fine. It's not.
No, it's fine.
Man,
they don't
coverage.
See tackling at A&M. I don't know what you want.
They really don't. You're not don't. Lying, though.
They do not teach tackling at Texas A&M.
It is bad.
Get him in the NFL. Get somebody who actually teaches him how to tackle.
I think I need to see him Watts more at single high safety. I will say this. Watts probably has the best upside in the class. He'd probably be my number six guy, I think, based on looking. I was looking through my reports while you were talking, and based on where I graded those guys, he would probably be my sixth highest grade so far, but I have him in the early day three range. I think he has really good traits, size.
He's not going day three.
No, he's not going day three, but this isn't a prediction of where he'll go. This is where I'm saying I would take him, yeah.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm sure he's going to go higher, but he's not, just like Justin Evans went in second
top
round,
ten.
But Justin Evans' career will play out like a fourth rounder at best. So that is close to him.
Jason Light on the pod.
Let's do it. I just think that Watts' form is terrible, but I think that he can improve, though. If he improves the tackling this season, that will be a great sign, because I think he has lots of athletic traits that are desirable. I don't think that his positioning and route recognition is great as a single high safety, but he's a guy that could, you know, right now I'm low on him, but I think that he's a straight liability as a tackler, whether it's down the field in the passing game or near the line of scrimmage in the run game. And normally that's just part of the eval. He's so bad in that area that it was impossible to overcome it. I just think he's going to be a massive weakness no matter where he goes. And he's not strong enough in any other area to offset it for me. So that's kind of where I was at with him. But I do think he has upside, though. And so if he can develop, I think this season's going to be big for him. And I get why he didn't come out early, because this is going to be a pretty big role for him this season. My number one guy is Derwin James. But it's almost all promise. I know you're like Derwin James number one, and he's going to go number one overall. And he has potential to, but I mean, we barely saw him play last year. He played like
put him in QB too.
A game and a half or something like that, a game and a quarter, something like that. And the year before, you know, we're talking about a big projection. What was he, a freshman the year before? In 2015.
Yeah.
So
yeah, freshman.
As a freshman, sure, he did some really good things, but a lot of it was, you know, a couple splash plays that we tend to still hang our hat on moving forward a lot. Has one pick. He actually got it in the 1.5 games he played last season. He didn't have any as a freshman. So we need to see him, but he's played like a lot of different roles there. We need to see him on the back end. We need to see how he recognizes routes, how instinctive he is, how he breaks on the ball. I saw flashes as a freshman that I thought were really impressive in that way. How he plays in a single high role. You know, we need to see all those things from him. He's 6'3", 211, somewhere around that. So he's got the size. Maybe he's going to play in the box more for Florida State. I'm sure he will, but to me, he has the best upside of any safety in the class, but I haven't seen, like, from his freshman year, if you ask me after 2015, would I take him in the first round? No, but I expect him to be fully more developed by now. I mean, 2 years later, physically more developed, more instinctive, mentally more developed, able to process things quicker. So it's just kind of impossible for me to say. I get the hype because he was such a heralded prospect, and the size and the athleticism look great. But until he, safety is a cerebral position. Until he does a lot of safety things consistently on tape, it's hard for me to say, oh, this is a guy I'm definitely taking top five or something like that. So it's kind of where I'm at with Derwin, although he was pretty high on my top 100. It's based, or top 50, just based mostly off promise than anything he's actually done on tape.
He just plays so many different roles for Florida State. I definitely understand that somebody who, and it just because I'm in Florida and because I'm graduated from UF, I hear all kinds of stuff and follow a lot of Florida State stuff too. And so James has been on my radar about the things that he's been able to do and the things that he's doing a lot longer than, say, like other people around the country, which I totally get. But just from the little highlights I've seen of Derwin, man, the athleticism this guy has is just absolutely insane. And there are times where they basically play him as an edge rusher. And he takes on left tackles. And, like, there's a play from 2 years ago, it had to have been his freshman year, where he takes on Florida's left tackle, but can't even remember who it was. And he just blows right by him and just, like, overpowers him. And this is, a safety.
Was it Sharp?
Because
Sharp was, like, 6'8", 399 pounds.
I don't think it was Sharp. I think it was somebody else. I think Sharp was hurt.
Sorry,
but anyways, so like they play Derwin, or they have played Derwin so uncharacteristically everywhere. It's basically been he was basically the Jabril Peppers before Jabril Peppers, where it was like, we just have to put this guy anywhere on the field we think the ball is going to go because he has the best impact of giving us a chance to swing the game wherever the ball is. So he's been pretty uncharacteristically placed the last 2 years. I don't know how much more consistent they're going to get with him this year. I really don't. And so we will see, I guess, starting Saturday when they take on Alabama. But
big test for him, huh?
What? Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess not in the passing game so much, but.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still got to, if you're playing up near the line of scrimmage, you're near the ball, you got to tackle Damian Harris, Bo Scarborough, all those dudes, Joshua Jacobs, blah, blah, blah. And probably like three other five stars they have redshirting or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah.
But so yeah, I just think that Derwin is his potential is through the roof, athleticism wise, instincts wise, and I know you definitely say like we need to see more tape, and we certainly do, and the NFL certainly does, but I think that they will see that tape that they want to see from Derwin James. So
yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited about what Derwin offers, because in a safety class that needs a savior, he could be that guy. He could be that man. So that's where we're at with the safety class right now. Not the best group, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like Trevor said, and we say this all the time, the last year is so important. I can't tell you how many players I've been meh on going into their senior season or going into their last season, and then boom, they just shoot. I mean, the improvement's obvious. The growth is obvious. They have that year where everything clicks, and I've completely changed my tune by the time the draft rolls around on them. That's the important part of this process that I hope people understand. Trevor and I offer these rankings, but I think if there's one thing we're really both able to do is we can be passionate about a stance now and very open-minded about that player moving forward, and I could offer you, I've talked about Taylor Decker on here and how I was, very low on him going in, and then he ended up being a top 10 player for me after his final season because I thought he improved so much. So I think we're both there. We want to see all these guys, even like Armoni Watts, who I just ripped on and joked about, want to see him take the next step. And if he does, more than willing, bump him first round, whatever it might be. I think that's the biggest thing for both of us is let's see growth in all these players and move away from our preseason projections if need be. Got to keep an open mind because a lot of growth still to happen for these players moving forward. So lot to watch, lot to look for. Tomorrow, Trevor absolutely thrashes me over my top 50 from over at FanRagSports.com. He shows no mercy in unloading on my takes. So we'll have that tomorrow. And then Fan Friday coming up. And then, man, college football, man. It's right here. Can't wait. Cannot freaking wait. Going to be a great first weekend of college football. And we'll have plenty of takes coming back next week, both on the rookie, on the pending rookies, on the guys that are in college football landscape that we want to evaluate how they played, and on the rookies around the NFL when the NFL season starts, talking about how the guys we just evaluated are playing and how we project them moving forward. So should be a ton of fun over the next couple months. Make sure you're sticking with us and keeping it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.